Welcome to another episode of our lesson in purposive communication. This lesson will focus on language registers or registers of English. When it comes to language variation, the term genre, register, and style are often encountered. David Crystal in 2008 defines register as a variety of language defined according to its use in social situations. For example, a register of scientific, religious, or formal English. He added, in Hallidayan linguistics, the term is seen as specifically opposed to varieties of language defined according to the characteristics of the users, and is given a subclassification into field, mode, and manner of discourse. Crystal further discusses style and register and says, that language, being the product of interaction among the members of society, must ultimately be studied according to the social context in which it is found. Within a language, there are variations in style and register, which differentiate and formally characterize distinct social situations. Style refers to the degree of formality attached to particular interpersonal social situation, which is reflected by differences in language. For example, the kind of language used while talking to a friend will differ noticeably from that used in addressing a superior in otherwise the same situation. Register refers to a kind of language whose forms are of a definable social situation, regardless of the status of the participants. Thus, one finds the register of legal language, liturgical language, and so on. So this is found on page 149 of David Crystal's book. It is to be noted that genre and register overlap and are sometimes used interchangeably. According to Lee in 2001, whereas genre is associated more with the organization of culture, register is associated with the organization of situation. To this end, register is understood as the context-specific variety of language to which the field mode tenor framework is important. To give a concrete example, with the genre of recipe, field may be analyzed in terms of the social setting and the communicative purpose in which the text is produced. Tenor may be described in terms of the role or roles required of the writers and readers, including the cultural value shared by both. Mode should be explained in light of the knowledge of other texts required of speakers or listeners and writers or readers as regards the genre, including the formal text features. Language register then refers to the formality of language which one speaks. Different registers are used in different situations. It is through register that you are able to determine the kind of lexicon or vocabulary to use, as well as the kind of structure to be used. Even in writing, you may use a formal or an informal register. In some instances, even a neutral language register is identified. The formal register then is used in formal speaking and writing situations. In a State of the Nation address classified as a formal communicative situation, the speech is usually delivered using a highly polished language read from a manuscript. This is certainly allowed since the president occupying the highest position in the country could not afford to make mistakes. On the contrary, a priest delivering his homily, more often than not, speaks extemporaneously and uses ordinary language. This is so since the audience is composed of various audiences coming from different walks of life. The priest should be able to convey his spiritual message to the listeners without difficulty of comprehension on their part. The priest should also be able to touch the very core of the listeners' heart so that they live the preachings they hear. The formal register is likewise appropriate for use in professional writing like project proposals, position papers, and business letters, as in the case of writing to a superior or to a head of a certain organization. It is more impersonal, objective, and factual. informal register, which is more casual in tone, is appropriate for people with whom you have established a more personal relationship, as in the case of friends and relatives. This type of writing may sometimes be emotional, as an intimate relationship exists between the speaker and listener, or writer and reader. Earlier in the discussion, it was mentioned that register refers to the kind of language whereby the forms used define the social situation, notwithstanding the status of the interlocutors. Thus, legalese or legal language is highly characterized by archaic expressions, technical jargon intrinsic only to the community of legal professionals, embedded structures, nominalizations, passive voice, as well as long kilometric sentences which are not the features of textis or language of texts. Conversely, the features of SMS language or textis language are exactly the opposite. The use of abbreviations, acronyms, slang words, and expressions. This is so since messages used to be limited to a certain number of characters or spaces, which made texting much easier and quicker. However, misinterpretation and/or miscommunication in text messaging may arise if vocabulary and knowledge of context are limited. Hence, extra care should be practiced when comprehending text messages. Now, I would like to give you the key points based on the discussion I have just presented for the previous two lessons. Intercultural communication plays an important role in achieving effective communication. Now, there are different varieties of English spoken by countries colonized by Britain, the US, Canada, and Australia, Singapore English, Malaysian English, Philippine English, and Thai English, among others. These varieties have their own grammatical, lexical, and syntactic features and should not be considered as errors. Another point to understand is that language has formal and informal registers. These registers have forms which define the social situation. And also, the kind of register to be used affects the way one speaks and writes. Welcome to another episode or lesson in purposive communication. For this lesson, I'm going to discuss the importance of the varieties of English in both oral and written contexts and to identify some grammatical, lexical, and syntactic features of post-colonial varieties of English in Asian contexts. So this lesson is in relation to communication and globalization. During your senior high school, you must have encountered the term World Englishes, or WE, or Varieties of English in class. WE actually stands for the localized varieties of English as they are used or spoken in certain areas. In the Asian context, the concept was introduced by Brad Katsuru. The famous three concentric circles of Asian Englishes attributed to Katsuru presents the three circles: the inner circle with English as a native language or ENL, the outer circle with ESL or English as a second language member countries, and the expanding circle with EFL or English as a foreign language. Examples of countries belonging to the inner circle are the United States of America, the United Kingdom, Australia, Canada, and New Zealand. Katsuru's outer circle is comprised of Singapore, Malaysia, the Philippines, and Pakistan, among others, while the expanding circle is composed of countries such as China, Japan, Taiwan, and Thailand. Aside from the fact that the outer and expanding circles are ESL, or English as second language, and EFL, English as a foreign language speaking, they have been colonized by some member countries in the inner circle, making the varieties they speak as post-colonial. It is then to be understood that people have different linguistic and cultural backgrounds, making intercultural communication a significant variable in communication. According to Bautista and Gonzalez in 2006, the structural characteristics of these new varieties differ. This is brought about by the mother tongue or home languages of those who learn or acquire English. And even in terms of social features, differences can also be highlighted in that there is a continuum of basilectal, mesolectal, and acrolectal varieties of English within the same speech community. The acrolect then comes closest to the standard, while the basilect digresses thoroughly from it and comes closest to the pidgin. Mesolect, or the middle variety, is midway between the acrolect and basilect. Bautista and Gonzalez used the term edulects for these varieties resulting from certain types of education ascertained by social class but are conveyed or transferred by the kind of instruction of the school system, especially for those coming from higher income families and or better educated classes. As regards structural variation, Katsu and Nelson in 2006 claim that these varieties of English are influenced by the local language or languages in various areas of their grammars and exhibit specific phonological, lexical, syntactic, and discoursal characteristics. For instance, in terms of stress and rhythm, outer and expanding circle varieties observe syllable-timed rhythm rather than stress-timed rhythm. Nigerians say success for success, and Indians and Nigerians say recognize for recognize. Moreover, speakers from the outer and expanding circles do not make any changes in their pronunciation to make a distinction between nouns and verbs in pairs, which inner circle countries observe, as in the case of import and import, and do not utilize contrastive stress for focusing. As regards sounds, outer and expanding circles do not observe initial aspiration of voiceless plosives such as p, t, k, and these are often perceived by inner circle countries as p, t, k. Some speakers of expanding circle varieties, as in the case of Japanese speakers, do not properly distinguish between r and l. According to Pope in 1976, in the case of syntactic features, question-answering systems differ between inner and outer expanding circles. While the former observes the positive-negative system, where the answer follows the polarity of the question, so for that is, if the question is in the positive, the answer confirming the assumption of the questioner is in the positive, and the answer disconfirming the assumption is in the negative. If, however, the question is in the negative, the answer confirming the assumption of the questioner is in the negative as well, while the answer disconfirming the assumption of the questioner is in the positive. The latter observes the agreement-disagreement system, which poses difficulty to speakers who follow the positive-negative system, particularly in interpreting the yes or no of the response unless it is followed by a clarification. That is, yes, or I think so, you're right, or no, that's not so. With respect to lexicon, vocabulary words peculiar only to some English varieties in Southeast Asia can be noted, as in the following. Singapore English, XT means show off, Missy means nurse, Chop means rubber stump, Marina Kids referring to youngsters who spend their leisure time around Marina Square or shopping center. In Philippine English, we have deep or puristic or hard to understand as an attribute of our language. Say for example, cigarette is called stick. High blood for tense or upset. Blow out for treating someone with a snack or meal. Motel for a hotel used for premarital or extramarital affairs. manualize, meaning to prepare for manuals. So our tendency to make nouns to verbs. Go ahead for, leave before others with host's permission. Or studentry, referring to student body. Or amboy, referring to a Filipino perceived to be too pro-American. Or promdi, referring to someone from the province. Malaysian English also has the following. Antilog, referring to a male hated by a girl. Or popcorn, referring to a loquacious person. Kacang, referring to peanuts or easy. Okay. Gwen Bautista's monograph on Defining Standard Philippine English, Its Status and Grammatical Features, came out in 2000. She answered the usual question asked about Philippine English. Is there a standard Philippine English? And when does an error become a feature of Philippine English? She stressed that just like any other new variety of English, like Indian English, Singaporean English, and Nigerian English, Philippine English is legitimate, having its own grammatical, lexical, and syntactic features. Gonzalez identified the following lexical features in Philippine language, which are preference for specific words and collocations, specifically shall, could, such, were in, and of, that is to signal possession. Unusual words and collocations, specific terms and word combinations, which may have been originally confused with other collocations, but which, because of frequent use, have become fixed combination in their own right. For example, we use the word results to instead of results in. Unusual prepositional usage, including omission of prepositions into word verbs, addition of prepositions to verb phrases, local use of different prepositions in noun phrases following certain verbs or adjectives. Now, the syntactic features identified include the following. We have first, word order features, consisting of the placement of the time adverb before the place adverb, placement of the adverb between verb and object, placement of the verb between noun and prepositional phrase, and placement of the indirect object introduced by to between verb and direct object, and other unusual adverb placements. Second, use of articles, including absence of the definite article, unusual use of the definite articles, and absence of the indefinite articles. Then noun subcategorization, consisting of the non-pluralization of count nouns, the reclassification of general American English, mass nouns as count nouns, mass nouns pluralization, and pluralization of adjectival nouns in compounds. Another is pronoun antecedent incongruence, subject predicate incongruence, and tense aspect usage consisting of unusual use of verb forms and tenses, use of the perfect tense where the simple past tense or even present perfect tense is called for in the general American English, and lack of tense sequence. As for the question, when does an error become a feature of Philippine English? Gonzalez has this to say. When do these errors cease to be errors and become part of the standard? If enough educated elites in the society commit these errors, then these errors in effect have been accepted by the society as the standard. That is found on page 189 of Gonzalez's book. So this discussion only shows how dynamic English is. These are only some of the essential features of some varieties of English which should be given full attention by users coming from different cultures. From the variety of English used by the native speakers such as British, Americans, Canadians, Australians, and New Zealanders, English has evolved into post-colonial varieties and should not be mistaken as errors, most especially if they have become the standard in the speech community and have been codified. As the poet Tamino Abad aptly put it, English is ours, we have colonized it too. You have to be aware of and recognize intercultural communication, as you need to be sensitive to the people around you who belong to different cultural heritages and have their own linguistic identity. When you encounter them, you will be able to avoid misunderstanding, avoid communication breakdown, and overcome language barriers with less difficulty since you are exposed to their own language features. This way, you will be able to enhance your personal and social interaction.